Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of Gospel on the Go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we are going to get into a very, very hot topic. The topic about tongues. Tongues. Have they already ceased? Or are they still in operation and one day they will cease? Hot topic. There are many in the modern church today who teach that the gift of tongues is still in operation. They will acknowledge, according to what 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8 says, the tongues will cease, and we're going to talk about that today. But they say that, well, that hasn't yet happened. And therefore, they say that the gift of tongues is still in operation. There are others who are on the other end of the spectrum, including me, who teach that tongues have already ceased. Well, where do we get all this? Well, let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. For those of you who have been with us for a while, we actually started a series, I guess about a month or so ago, where we're talking about this idea of spiritual gifts. We're focusing in 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14, where Paul was teaching the Corinthians and even rebuking the Corinthians when it came to this idea of spiritual gifts. The Corinthians, not all of them, but many of them, were lusting for the showy gifts. They weren't satisfied with the spiritual gifts the Holy Spirit had already graciously given to them. No, they wanted the more showy gifts. In particular, the gifts of tongues, prophecy, and knowledge. They wanted to be in the spotlight. And so, here in chapter 13, Paul was rebuking the Corinthians because they were lusting for the showy gifts, and they were lacking in love when it came to using the gifts they'd already received. And so, the first three verses of chapter 13, Paul really rebuked him. He said, look, you can have the gift of tongues, prophecy, faith, knowledge, all that. He said, but if you don't have love, then in God's eyes, you're nothing. And then, verses 4 through 7, Paul gave them a picture of what true biblical love looked like when it was flourishing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not jealous. It's not easily provoked, and on and on. And then here in verse 8, Paul now gets down to really the meaty part. Actually, I shouldn't say the meaty part because love is obviously extremely important. In fact, that's his whole point. He's saying that love is the more excellent way, even greater than the spiritual gifts. Why? Because the spiritual gifts are temporary. Love, however, is permanent and thus preeminent. Love is going to last throughout all of eternity. Unlike the gift of prophecy, tongues, and knowledge, they're going to stop. The question is, when and how? Verse 8, Paul says, love never fails. I'm not sure I like the translation out of the Greek where the NASB uses the word fails because, you know, when you think of something failing, you think of the opposite, something succeeding. Well, that's not what Paul is saying here. Paul is not saying love never fails, love always succeeds, because look at the love our Lord showed to people while he was here on earth. Did they love him in return? No. Does that mean his love failed? Didn't succeed? How about the Apostle Paul? Same thing, right? No, actually, when Paul says love never fails, what he's saying, it comes from the Greek word pipto. Literally means love never falls or permanently decays. Think of a flower. When a flower starts to fall, its petals, because of decay, start to fall, and eventually that flower has permanently decayed. Pipto. That's what Paul is saying here about love. Love is permanent. It never falls. Think of that flower. It never permanently decays. As opposed to, would you underline the three gifts he mentions here? Prophecy, tongues, and knowledge. Those three gifts, which were part of the group of gifts that the Corinthians were lusting for, they didn't care about love. They wanted the showy gifts, prophecy, tongues, and knowledge. Paul said, love never falls. But if there are the gifts of prophecy, they'll be done away with. They're temporary. There are tongues. They will cease. They're temporary gifts. If there's knowledge, it'll be done away with. It's temporary. Love never, forgive me, Greek professors, if you're listening to this, love never piptos, okay, never falls or permanently decays. But prophecy, tongues, and knowledge will eventually be rendered inoperative. They're temporary. You understand the context so far? Okay. Speaking of Greek, I've got to give you a little bit of Greek right now, and even some grammar. But it's going to help you understand what our big question is. Tongues, have they already ceased? Or are they still in operation and one day will cease? Now, I want to draw your attention to the first gift mentioned, prophecy, and the third gift mentioned, knowledge. In both cases, prophecy and knowledge will be abolished, will be rendered inoperative. And the same Greek word is used for both prophecy and knowledge. It comes from a combination of two Greek words, kata argeo. Literally means will be rendered inoperative, will be abolished. Kata argeo. Prophecy and knowledge will be rendered inoperative, as opposed to love, which will never pipto decay, right? Prophecy and knowledge, let's forget tongues for a second now. Prophecy and knowledge, kartargeo, will be stopped. And in both cases, kartargeo is in what's called the passive voice. Okay, Andrew, what does that mean? It means that something or someone will cause prophecy and knowledge to kartargeo, to be abolished. Something outside of those gifts will cause them to be rendered inoperative. What is that something? Well, we get our answer in verses 9 and 10. Verse 9, he says, we know in part, that's the gift of knowledge, we know in part, and we prophesy, that's a gift of prophecy, in part. And here it is, verse 10. But when the perfect comes, the partial prophecy and knowledge will be kartargeo. And so we know that both prophecy and knowledge will be rendered inoperative, those gifts. We actually know what will cause them to be rendered inoperative. What is that? When the perfect comes. Okay, what is the perfect? You have to come back next week for that teaching. That's a lot I'm going to get into then, so I don't want to take too much time today. But I just wanted to kind of give you this foundation. So, love, never what? Piptos, never permanently decays. As opposed to prophecy and knowledge, they will be kartargeo, passive voice, something outside of them will stop them. What is that something? When the perfect comes. And again, we'll talk about that next time. But tongues. Tongues, we're told, will cease. Interesting, different Greek word is used. Not karthargeo, but rather pow. Comes from pow. And it literally means to, again, be stopped, be ceased. So we know tongues will pow, and it's not only a different Greek word, pow versus karthargeo for prophecy and knowledge, but also pow, the verb, is in a different voice. Remember I said that prophecy and knowledge are in the passive voice, meaning that something will cause them to stop. Tongues will pow, will be ceased, but they're in the middle voice. What does that mean? That they will cease on their own. Nothing's going to cause them to cease, but rather, middle voice, they will simply cease on their own. Think of a battery prior to the advent of chargers and so forth. In the olden days, what happened to a battery? A battery had a certain lifespan. And once that battery ran out of its lifespan, it just ceased to operate, right? Well, that's the idea of tongues here. Tongues have a certain lifespan built into them. And once the battery, so to speak, runs out, tongues cease. That's it. No more use of the gift. No more that gift is no longer in operation. Tongues will be ceased by themselves. Pow. Middle voice. As opposed to prophecy and knowledge, karthargeo, something outside of them, passive voice, will cause them to stop. We know what that is when the perfect comes. And so, I wanted to get you through this for today. Because again, understanding this and understanding the Greek words and the grammar is going to be the foundation for us as we continue to study chapter 13 and all of chapter 14. Because we're going to be talking a lot about the spiritual gift of tongues. So I want you to understand this foundation here in verse 8. That's why I didn't want to get into today talking about what the perfect is, when it comes, and all that. We'll talk about that next time. But I just want you to understand that the spiritual gifts that the Corinthians were lusting for, in particular, prophecy and knowledge and tongues, Paul said those three gifts are going to be abolished. They're temporary, as opposed to love, which is permanent and preeminent. That's the big idea. But then Paul said to them, when it comes to prophecy and knowledge, they will be abolished, karthargeot. In the passive voice, something's going to do it to them when the perfect comes. So we know that. But tongues will also cease, but they will be powed, middle voice, cease on their own. Think of the battery. And so, nobody can argue with what the original language is here. Nobody can argue that. If you understand the original language, if you understand the grammar, you cannot argue with that. And so even those in the charismatic camp who say, hey, tongues are a spiritual gift that is still in operation, they don't argue with what Paul is saying here in verse 8, that tongues will cease on their own. If they understand the original language, you can't argue with it. But what they say is, well, wait a second. All Paul is saying here is that tongues will cease on their own. Paul doesn't say when. And you know what? I agree with them on that. Paul doesn't say when. In fact, nowhere in the New Testament do we have a proof text that says tongues will cease on their own at this time, or tongues have already ceased. Nowhere do we have that in the New Testament. And so those in the charismatic camp will say, okay, we agree that tongues will cease on their own. Their battery will run out, you know, by itself. But they say, well, it doesn't say when. And therefore they say, tongues are still in operation. They will one day cease on their own. We say, we teach, no, tongues have already ceased
on their own.
Okay, Andrew, where do you get that? Didn't you just say there's not a proof text in Scripture that tells you the tongues have already ceased? Where are you getting all this? Well, what I'm going to do today is just give you one example as to why we teach tongues have already ceased. And over the next several weeks, maybe even for several months, as we go through the rest of chapter 13 and all of chapter 14, I'll slowly build a case to show you why we teach that tongues have already ceased, as opposed to those in the charismatic camp who say tongues have not yet ceased. They'll cease one day, but they haven't yet. Now, before I get into all this, let me make it very clear. I don't want to fall into the same trap that the Corinthians fell in. They were getting all this knowledge, but what were they lacking? Love. So I don't want to try to build a case and to show why we teach tongues have already ceased. I don't want to show all this knowledge and be lacking in love. I look at many in the charismatic camp as my brothers and sisters in Christ. We may have some differences when it comes to the gift of tongues, but that doesn't mean we have to battle against each other and hate each other, right? We don't want to end up being noisy gongs and clanging cymbals like the Corinthians were, right? They were lacking in love, and we don't want to lack in love. We want to be patient. We want to be kind. Certainly, we want to dig deeply into the Scriptures and try to understand what God meant by what God said. But man, we don't want to be loveless. And so, with that disclaimer, let me give you one reason why we teach that tongues have already ceased. And I'm just going to give you one for today, okay? Go to Acts chapter 2. Let's take a look at the gift of tongues on the day of Pentecost, the gift of tongues as they operated back then. And let's see if the supposed gift of tongues today resembles the gift of tongues back then, okay? So Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1, we're told that when the day of Pentecost had come, day of Pentecost was the day when it was 10 days after our Lord had ascended to heaven, and it was then, 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost that the Father and Son sent the promised Holy Spirit, not only to be with people, but also to indwell them. Day of Pentecost. And also, a little background on Pentecost. Pentecost was one of three religious feasts or celebrations that every Jewish male, 20 years of age and above, where every Jewish male was required to attend there in Jerusalem. You had Passover, Pentecost, and Feast of Booths or Tabernacles. Those three Jewish holidays, feasts, were required to be attended by all Jewish males, regardless of where they lived. They had to, by God's law, come to Jerusalem to celebrate those three Jewish feasts, okay? And so you had Jewish people from everywhere, inside of Israel and even outside of Israel. All these Jewish people came to Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost, not just the Jewish males, 20 years of age and above, but also probably their family members, right? So there was a packed crowd in Jerusalem on this day of Pentecost. And there were Jews from all over who actually, because they had been living so long in other countries outside of Israel, they adopted the languages of the countries where they were living. Their children, their grandchildren who were born in those countries, they were still Jewish, but their first language was no longer Hebrew. It was the language of the country, the nation where they lived. And so with that background in mind, let's take a look at a clear example of the gift of tongues on that day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago. Verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. The apostles, minus Judas, he had already committed suicide, plus other believers, about 120 in total. They were all together in one place. Verse 2, suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And here it is, verse 4. And they, in particular the apostles from Galilee, were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just the apostles, but all the believers. But the apostles in particular, as we're about to see, were going to speak in tongues. We're told that everybody was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Here we go, gift of tongues right here, on the day of Pentecost. Now, I want you to underline a couple words here in verse 4. I want you to underline the word speak. I want you to underline the word tongues. And I want you to underline the word utterance. Why? Well, first off, we are told, verse 4, the gift of tongues back then, the apostles and those closely associated with them who had received the gift of tongues, they spoke. Laleo. They didn't chant nor speak in ecstatic gibberish like you see today. They spoke. Laleo. In fact, you can see the word used several times. Verse 6, the crowd was astonished at the end because we hear them speaking, laleo, in our language. Verse 7, we see the word speak again. Are not all these, the crowd said, who are speaking, laleo, Galileans? Again, referring to the 11 apostles, right? Who were from Galilee, northern part of Israel. And then verse 11, we see, we hear them in our own tongues speaking, laleo, the mighty things of God. So point number one, why do we teach that tongues have ceased? Well, back then, the gift of tongues, they spoke, not this gibberish, what we see today. Just go online, you can go on YouTube and just say, gift of tongues. You'll see examples. Those people speaking? Now, they may say they are, but you underline another word in verse 4. They spoke with other tongues. Glossias literally means languages. The gift of tongues back then, they spoke. Let's say the apostles, they spoke other languages. Languages which they had never studied or practiced. But they had been given the gift of tongues to be able to speak, laleo, other glossias. Languages, clear, intelligible foreign languages, which they had never studied before. How did that happen? End of verse 4. As the Holy Spirit was giving them utterance. In the Greek, it literally means clear enunciation. So again, the original gift of tongues, those who had that gift spoke. Spoke what? Clear, intelligible foreign languages that were understandable to the people to whom they spoke. How do we know that? Verse 5, there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. Do you see all the different people groups? And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered. Why? Because each one of them was hearing, understanding them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? Like, how do we understand them? How are they speaking in our language? Verse 8, how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? And then we get a list of some of the nations represented there, some of the languages represented there. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them in our own tongues or languages, speaking of the mighty deeds of God. Do you see the original gift of tongues? Clear enunciation, where those who had the gift spoke foreign languages that were understood clearly by the people who knew the language. And what did the people who had the gift of tongues, what did they declare? The mighty deeds of God. There's an example of the gift of tongues, right? Back then. Why do we teach that the gift of tongues have already ceased? Fast forward to our time today. Those who say they have the gift of tongues, are they exercising that gift the same way the apostles did back then? No. What you see today or hear today is just ecstatic gibberish, unintelligible chanting. I mean, nothing resembling the original gift. And so I want to conclude today. I don't want to give you too much. I'll build my case over the next several months. Again, I want to do this in love. But I just want to show you why we teach tongues that's already ceased. Again, as we saw in 1 Corinthians 13:8, we know that tongues will cease on their own, right? Question is when? Well, we teach it's already happened. And one of the reasons is because we just simply look at an example of tongues in the early church, and then we come to today and see the supposed gift today, there's absolutely no resemblance, right? Now, I know those in the charismatic camp will give their reason as to why there's no resemblance. We'll talk about that later. But I just wanted to give you this foundation. Again, the hot topic is this. Tongues have ceased or tongues will cease? Many today say that they will eventually cease. There's a minority group of us today who say, nah, they've already ceased. And even though there's not a proof text in Scripture that says the tongues have already ceased, if you just look at the example of the early church, you see how they exercise the gift of tongues. And then you see today how people are exercising what they call the gift of tongues. Not even close. But remember, we want to do this in love. We don't want to puff ourselves up, and we certainly don't want to create division in the body. That's why we're going to go nice and slow over the next several weeks, next several months, as we talk about this very hot topic on tongues.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.